Pentecost is the great feast of the Holy Spirit. We celebrate the gift Jesus gives to his people of his Holy Spirit on this day. That's the same Spirit that was first given to every Christian at their baptism. And it was given again at our confirmations. At those moments, we're filled up with the Holy Spirit. But I don't know about you, but there are tons of moments when I don't really feel like I'm full of anything like the Holy Spirit. I'm usually full of something, but it isn't too holy, and it's not that spiritual usually. And why is it, I ask myself, you know, if I was filled with the Holy Spirit at baptism and at my confirmation, why am I still not filled with the Holy Spirit 40 years after the confirmation? Did I use up my quota? Probably not. More likely is that the Spirit leaked out of me. Or, well, if I'm going to be honest about it, I probably more like shoved the Holy Spirit out of me to make room for more of my junk. You know, more of my ego, my pride, my selfishness. It's like I'm a hoarder, except instead of old newspapers and used bicycle parts, it's like all my ego and pride and selfishness and all those other things that Paul lists in his letter to the Galatians, you know, that first set of lists. So it's all that junk that I hoard in me. And because of that, the Holy Spirit just sort of like gets pushed out sometimes. And therefore, there's a lot less fruit of the kind that St. Paul talks about. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Never had very much self-control. But all of that stuff gets sort of shoved out to make more room for my junk. And I have to face up to the fact that the Spirit leaks out of me all the time. St. Paul says, we have this treasure of clay, to show that the surpassing power belongs to God, not to us. I have this incredible treasure of the Holy Spirit in a jar of clay. But I tell you, my clay jar has cracks in it all over. It leaks constantly. I leak. And the more pride and ego and selfishness that I put in there, the faster I start to leak out the Holy Spirit. And the thing is, you know, over my life, I've experienced the Holy Spirit fill me up again. But time and time again when that's happened, I've thought to myself, oh, this time it'll last. This time, I'm gonna live like this all the time. I'm gonna live filled with the Spirit. This one time when I just couldn't stop giggling. I was filled with the Spirit. It was so wild, and I'm just filled with the Spirit. I'm giggling all the time. I just want to be in that moment forever. And yet, I leak. I leak out. Every time, I end up leaking. I just need to face the fact that I am cracked, that I'm going to leak because I'm a wounded person. I'm broken in some ways. And you know what? That's okay. God doesn't see all those cracks and say to himself, well, this one's broken. Might as well toss it into the scrap heap and get another. God is a hoarder too. He's not going to throw us out. And the reason is because to us, we aren't stuff to God. Or to God, we aren't stuff. We're his beloved sons and daughters. And who's going to throw out their beloved child? Who isn't going to want to heal whatever is wounded and broken? in their child. Jesus says in Luke's gospel, is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, you'll give a scorpion. If you then, Jesus says, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? He will keep filling us up with his Holy Spirit. He will keep fixing our cracks, our brokenness. And when a new crack appears, this, I'm getting more cracked as I get older, I think, too, in some ways. But when a new crack appears, he's going to fix that one as well. God does not tire of us. God does not want to throw us out like some broken jar. I am his son. You are his beloved child. He's never going to throw you out. He will always give us what we need. He gave us his son who got up on the cross for us, and he gives us himself, his Holy Spirit. I don't know if you caught the fact in those readings that in the gospel we read, Jesus appears to the apostles for the very first time on that Easter Sunday. He goes into this locked room where the disciples are, and he gives them his Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit, he tells them. And this is on Easter Sunday. And yet in the first reading that we heard, which takes place 50 days after that Easter Sunday, we're 50 days from Easter Sunday now, that's why it's Pentecost. The resurrected Jesus, Jesus had appeared to them for 40 days, and 10 days ago, he ascended into heaven, and they've been without Jesus for 10 days, and then Pentecost comes. Then the Holy Spirit comes upon them again. They get the Holy Spirit at Easter. They get 40 days with Jesus. 10 days later, they need the Holy Spirit to come upon them again. Basically, it's 10 days of no Jesus, and then they need a refilling of the Spirit. What do I deduce from that? I think the apostles are even more leaky than I am. That's what I had deduced from it. I deduce that they need refilling too. They may leak more than I do, and yet they were great figures in our church's history. They achieved extraordinary things. They started a church. They performed miracles. They raised people from the dead. They proclaimed in the face of mocking and derision and opposition and even persecution, they proclaimed the good news of Jesus Christ rising from the dead. They did amazing things. They prayed over people and they healed them. They invoked the Holy Spirit and it came down upon them. They baptized people. They celebrated Mass. They cared for the poor and the marginalized. And they brought healing and wholeness to thousands of people. And they built communities that were reliant on the Holy Spirit and filled with the fruit of that Spirit. Communities filled with love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and generosity and faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. And yet, they were a leaky bunch of people. The apostles were not perfect. The men and women who followed them became disciples of Jesus. They were not perfect, but they did great things. They achieved incredible results. Jesus told them, "Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact, will do greater works than these." Jesus said, "You're going to do even greater things than I have done." Those men and women, they did amazing things. They did incredible things because they believed in the name of Jesus and the power that it had. They believed in that the Holy Spirit was guiding them. They constantly sought to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we see that that outpouring of the Spirit is not a one-shot deal. They were filled with the Holy Spirit over and over again, which means that we too can go back and ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit over and over again. It means that we too can achieve great things. We can build the same type of wonderfully fruitful and loving community as they did. You know, over the past few weeks, if you tuned in, if you saw my preaching the last few weeks, I spoke about all the fruit that we've seen over this pandemic. And I believe it's because we focused on our mission to make disciples rather than the methods and the ways of doing things. And it's because we constantly sought to have the Holy Spirit guide us in this. And one of the first things Pope Francis wrote when he was Pope was something called Joy of the Gospel. And in that document, Joy of the Gospel, he says, I dream of a missionary option. That is, a missionary impulse capable of transforming everything so that the church's customs, ways of doing things, times and schedules, languages and structures can be suitably channeled for the evangelization of today's world rather than for her self-preservation. Over this past year, we focused on that missionary option. And it's borne incredible fruit for us. But we also need to recognize that over these next few months, once more, things are going to change in our world. Things are going to gradually reopen. In-person gatherings of our church will once again become the principal way we worship. We'll always have to adapt to hybrid models for meetings and gatherings. That's probably going to become the norm. So much is going to have to change again. It's tiring. It's frustrating. It's riddled with anxiety and fear, all this change. I get it. But if we put everything under the guidance of the Holy Spirit and of the service of our mission, it can become so, so fruitful. So one more time, I'm asking the Lord to send a fresh outpouring of His Spirit to guide and inspire us to build the loving, fruit-filled community of faith that He wants, to build the church that doesn't stay hidden in an upper room, but goes out and engages with the world. Over this past year, I have leaked out that Holy Spirit time and time again. And I think in this year that has taken so much out of us, I'm not the only one. Probably each and every one of us has leaked out some of the Spirit, some of the joy and love and generosity and kindness that we had, some of the fruits of the Spirit that were part of our life. We probably leaked that out. So I want to take a couple of moments to pray for a fresh outpouring of that Spirit that filled the church at Pentecost. So I'm just going to take a moment. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit to come upon us anew. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Help me to remove the ego, pride, and the selfishness that too often fills my heart. Remove everything that is an obstacle in all of our hearts, Lord. Fill it with your Spirit. Fill our hearts. Come and fill each one of us with joy, peace. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they will be created. and you will renew the face of the earth. Amen.